This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Giddy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
I hate the taste of salts that I have in my mouth, and I have cursed the heat too many times to count. My mind has turned as flaky as the skin upon my nose. No more seeking refuge.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios. My beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, broadcasting across this beautiful blue and green planet of ours in high-definition audio or something quite like it. Enlightening your musical life and so much more. The value of listening to this show cannot even be charted, folks. You, the enlightened, the initiated, it is great to have you all here again. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Phil here. How you doing? Delighted to be with you. The P2 Podcast is here again. It's that time of the week. Underway, everyone. Underway. Well, well, well. What a show we have for you today. Oh, man. Have you enjoyed Owen Temple Month? Oh, man. What a thrill it's been having him here, man, for a month. He just keeps coming by every week, opining, just offering insight, telling funny stories, humorous tidbits throughout his career. Amazing. Amazing. My old friend Owen's so great. And you know what today? How else better? What better way to conclude Owen Temple Month than by playing his new record, Mountain Home? We're going to be playing some tracks for that in the vault today. So just laugh when I say I'm going to stagger over the vault, blindfolded. It has all been written. We're going to listen to Owen's great new record in the vault, talk about my favorite tracks, etc. Some I'd heard at a show we played recently. We'll talk about that in the vault. Owen himself will be here in our middle segment to discuss, oh my goodness. So you know your friend P2 here. Phil, how you doing? I'm from the old days, man. You know, I grew up with all these old graybeard guys talking about the 60s and the 70s. Well, I'm not gray yet, but man, I talk about the 90s. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? The 90s. Well, Owen and I were around in the 90s starting to play music and stuff, so we were around for the early aughts, 2002 or 2003. We were around for the great CD product disaster of the early aughts. Oh, my goodness. When guys like myself, Owen, Max Stalling, I'd imagine anybody. Pat Green, you name it, had tremendous amount of product on hand, CDs that we had printed from our previous records in various styles and things over the years. But you know, then we had Napster came along and some stores went out of business and stuff. So the bottom line was a lot of us got stuck with a lot of our own product. Oh, my goodness. I still have some copies of Phil Comes Alive stacked in my garage and some other titles. If you're interested, call me. I'll sell you a box like cigars, you know, I'll send you a box of 30 for $30 or something like that. Phil at PhilPritchett.com if I can help. Oh, bless you all fans out there. You are all a Twitter. You are all just a buzz about P2's Private Party April. Private Party April. I think the Saturdays are already gone. I'm pretty sure. Maybe the 9th. Is that a Saturday? I think that second Saturday might still be floating around. But man, those first those Saturdays just went bang, 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 gone. $500. I show up at your house and I play an acoustic show wherever it is. So thanks to y'all who have already booked it. I'm thrilled. I'm so excited. But man, we got those Fridays are still sitting there. Man, I'm holding out. I know you're looking for, oh, maybe a Firehouse date's going to pop up, or who's coming to Corpus or Lubbock. No, not in April. Garbage. If you want to see us, man, you got to book it, man. You got to book it. You got to think, hey, man, we'll get some folks together. Pool our cash. Come on, man, $500. And I'll show up and play the most kick-ass show in your living room that you've ever seen in your life. Or that is least, that is my goal anyways. So, imagine it. Email me, phil@philpritchard.com, or call me 817-733-5256 for private party April 2011, where I'll come to your house, $500. Let me know, everyone. Let me know. Oh, man, you know what? I got some other email. Caught everyone by surprise. I've got some good feedback on our good friends at Hot Damn Tamales, huh? The first P2 podcast sponsorship, would you say? It's not really a sponsorship. I know the guys down there. They do great stuff. I wanted to share my enthusiasm. I go in there all the time. Ordering stuff. He goes, man, let's run a couple little spots on there. You know, tell your fans about us if you like, Phil. So that's what I'm doing. So let me just say to all the fans out there, if you listen to the show like you have for a couple years, it still takes a lot to get it on the air here and post it and edit it and get people on and all that kind of stuff. If you like it, you're thinking, Phil, I want to support you, man. Do I have you come play at my house? Do I have it? All that. Of course, of course, of course. But by all means, go to hotdamntamales.com. Type in P2 in the little promotions deal. Get $2 off any order. Order, man, you can't go wrong ordering anything off the site. They'll ship it to you frozen in a little ice pack, a styrofoam thing. All you do is put it in your steamer, steam it up, and just you'll be reborn. Hot Damn Tamales. So there you go, man. A sponsor. We're official now. Official now on the podcast. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm very excited. I wouldn't be selling you shoes or something. I don't know. Unless they were ostrich boots. Anybody out there got an ostrich boots company or something? Man, I'll run some spots for you on here. Yeah, and if you have a business out there and you think you might benefit from being on the P2 podcast, then, man, Phil probably uses our product already. He loves it. I don't know what it could be. Boots, hot sauce, guitars, anything like that. I mean, just say, hey, man, would you mind doing a little spot on there? We'll work out a deal with you. We'll do it for the fans to enlighten us all. So bless Hot Damn Tamales. Listen for a spot a little later on in this broadcast. Great stuff. Well, oh, man. Are you like me? Do you not watch TV anymore? I gave up on television. I watch sports. You know, we're going to have my good friend Max Hartman, Los Angeles actor. He's been in tons of commercials. Guy, you've seen him in Remax, Circuit City, Coke. You'd recognize his face. He's the current voice of Domino's Pizza. My lifelong friend, Max Hartman. He's in my high school band. We're going to do several shows with him coming up here. He's in town from L.A., and we're going to talk about his experiences out there. The arts, man, acting and all kinds of stuff. So look forward to those shows with Max Hartman coming up here in the coming weeks. But we were talking about, TV today and how reality TV is really tough on a guy like my friend Max, who's an actor. Remember when shows used to be people acting and pretending to be something? What do you have now? You've got the guys, like, what's the guy who made the canoe? I couldn't get through the podcast. Talking about the guy making the canoe on a survival show. Hey, man, let's hollow out the canoe. Oh, man, go back and listen to, I don't know what episode it was. Me talking about survival television. It's out there. But the bottom line is you don't have actors. You have people, you know, like Jersey Shore. You've just got people running around like idiots. And, man, these networks don't pay these people anything. There's no costumes. There's no sets. There's nothing to pay for. You just give them all, you know, a little money and you follow them around the camera. That's the show. And lo and behold, you know, a Jersey Shore has like 10 million viewers a show or something crazy like that. Saw a statistic on that. 10 million. Whereas Mad Men, you know, watch Mad Men out there. It has like a million, like maybe a million viewers. Well, that brings me to my next point, man. I've been watching Mad Men. I've been trying to get indoctrinated into the culture a little bit. You know, I mean, since The Sopranos, no one really talks about TV very much. There's nothing really on, you know. It's just game shows and Dancing with the Stars, Skating with the Stars, you know, playing chess with the stars and whatever other shows there are out there. I'm not interested, man. Game shows, it's just garbage at night. So if there's not a football game on or baseball or something, I don't watch TV. So we do Netflix. Well, man, what happens on Netflix, man? I've seen everything. I mean, how many times can P2 right here, Phil, how many times can I watch Rocky and Jaws, you know? And The Hunt for Red October. Blake Walker, you listening out there? That's right. That's what I'm talking about. My old road manager, Blake Walker. Always watching some Westerns, some good shoot 'em ups. Oh, man. But so I never know what to get on Netflix either. Well, I've been intrigued with the show Mad Men. You know what I'm talking about, right? The ad executive guys. Don Draper. It's on AMC, which is kind of different. So AMC does this show, Mad Men. It's the cool thing about it is it takes place in 1960. The first season, anyway, 1960. Then the successive seasons are whatever, you know, 61, 62, 63. So early 60s. And, man, the first season was great. I rent Netflix. You get the whole season on the discs and stuff like that. So it's been fun, man, because if you watch an episode, you just go, cool, man, let's keep going. No commercials. Just let's go see what happens next week. You just go to the next episode. Man, that's the way to watch TV in my book. It's the new way to watch programming, should I say. I'll never watch a regular TV show again. I mean, the time that it comes on, anyway. So, man, I've been really into Mad Men, watching this thing unfold. Oh, man, but you know what? I'm getting a sour taste in my mouth. I apologize to all the people out there who love it. I'm kind of the second season. I'm almost at the end of the second season right now on the discs. And my enthusiasm is waning a bit. It's waning. You know what happens to these shows? I mean, it's just like making an album. Hootie and the Blowfish, okay? They're around for 15 years. They finally get a chance to make a record, a major label record, man. Well, what do? They do what any smart band would do. They say, well, man, what are our 10 best songs that people love over the last 10 years? You know, what are they? And say, well, you know, this one always goes over well, and this one, and you re-record some, and you do some new ones. You know, Dave Matthews kind of did that, whatever his first big one was, Under the Table and Dreaming. Is that right? Or is that the Reckless Kelly? Under the Table and Above the Sun. No, but Dave Matthews, he'd re-record some of his old kind of hits, you know, that people he knew people liked. And so as a result, you get these debut albums from bands that are just fantastic. They're well thought out. And then it's always tough when it does well to say, okay, now go make another one. The old saying in the music business is you got 10 years to make your first record. You got 1 year to make your second record. Huh? Think about it. Oh, my. Truer words were never spoken. Well, I would venture to guess the same is true in writing and television, right? I mean, you've got Mad Men. These guys say, man, it's in the 60s. And, man, in this whole show, the 19 Mad Men, the lead character, Don Draper, you see things about his past that he's leaving behind. You sense his past catching up with him. He's a mysterious guy. And then he's working in this hotshot ad agency, advertising, Madison Avenue. Agencies, so there's business happening. There's women everywhere. And the jokes are great, man. All the 60s jokes and things that you could say in the 1960s you could never say now. You know, like, you're pretty smart for a girl. Everyone's just chain smoking, drinking whiskey during the day. You know, it's just nonstop cocktail hours, chain smoking, meetings. It's really entertaining to watch. And beneath all this, you got Draper's past. And then you've also got the 60s, the 50s turning into the 60s, okay? You've got the Nixon-Kennedy election going on. And these ad guys are kind of mixed up in that a bit. And there's all these layers happening, man. There's all these things going on that first season. And then it kind of wraps up first season. And you kind of get the impression that, you know, these guys probably wrote this first season, okay, here it is. And they said, okay, great. Now I'm right, it's the second season. And they're just kind of like, ugh. So that's the sense I've gotten. Maybe that's not fair to say. I feel like this second season's just kind of dragging out. There's nothing's really happening. I'm on the episode 8 or something. I'm kind of like, dude, okay, what's happening here? And it's a little slow, but I'm sticking with it, man. I'm sticking with it. I'm going to stick it. I think they've got 4 seasons now. So Mad Men, my new obsession, my new passion here. Waning a bit in season 2. I don't know. Don't send me any email spoilers. All right. But send me your opinion on TV, Mad Men. Shows you watched. Let me in. Help me. Enrich my life, folks. That's what I need from you. Phil at philpritchard.com. Let me know what I need to be watching, what I need to be keeping up with out there. Because I'm telling you what, these network shows, man, the reality things, are just beating me into oblivion. Oh, my, it's terrible. Just awful. What is an actor to do, man? My friend Max, again, out there in L.A., there's not even shows to, like, try out for. I guess you have, like, 2 and a Half Men. You've got Seinfeld. I'm just kidding. How old are you, Phil? You know when Stu and Blue got in the band? They'll never admit this. They never even watched Seinfeld. I'm like, man, you guys watch Seinfeld? They're just like, huh, what? I'm like, Seinfeld, man. Of course, they were like 8 years old when Seinfeld was big. I was a little older than them. So they kind of missed that deal. Oh, man, who knows what the future of television even holds, man. Television used to be all about, you know, what time of the night that show would be on that would get you the biggest audience. You know, did you see that Conan O'Brien had the biggest ratings of all the late night guys? Because they're somehow calculating in DVR recordings and stuff like that, that he's beaten Jay and Dave. And he's on basic cable earlier in the day. God, it's just crazy, man. They're having to rewrite all the rules. You know, digital media, recording stuff, watching it when you want, delivering it when you want. Netflix, it's blowing the whole damn thing up. Well, we here on the P2 Podcast try to follow it all for you. At least give you our impressions on it. Well, 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 what better way to conclude this section than to give you eager anticipation for our guest coming in here for his final chapter of Owen Temple Month. Yes, that's right. Who else could it be? Owen Temple will be joining us here next.
Always suited you so well. Just let this highway take us wherever it may lead.
Well, fans, last week we threw down the gauntlet on you by enriching your lives by letting you in on Fort Worth's best. It's not even a secret. Just letting you all know about the greatness of Hot Damn Tamales. HotDamnTamales.com. No, 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 you don't have to live in Fort Worth to enjoy Hot Damn Tamales. Of course, if you live here, or you're coming through town, you come tour Trinidad World Recording Studios, you come record here, we'll go over there to Hot Damn Tamales, get us some ancho pork tamales, gourmet, not made with lard, or perhaps the beef tenderloin, jalapeno, and beer tamales, the three cheese, the black bean and Oaxaca cheese. Oh my goodness. You will just think, why don't I live here? Well, if you can't live in Fort Worth, folks, just go to HotDamnTamales.com. They are the largest shipper of gourmet fresh tamales in the country. Dude, you go to like Google, type in best tamales, HotDamnTamales.com comes right up. They got great pictures on there, great descriptions on all their fresh and just tantalizingly exotic tamales. I'm always getting my mind blown by what they make these things out of. Amazing stuff. So, go to HotDamnTamales.com if you want to support the podcast and support your greater health and your world vision. Go to HotDamnTamales.com, type in P2. The letter P in the number 2 in the promotions box, and get $2 off any order. They'll be shipped right to your door in a custom styrofoam, ice pack, frozen UPS box. All you do is just stick them in the steamer or the microwave and blow your own mind right there in your kitchen. Tell them Phil sent you. HotDamnTamales.com.
Rosary beads. We can find our own redemption somewhere along the way. Do you know the way to Santa Fe?
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio or something quite like it. To all the ships at sea, to all the fans worldwide, enlightening your musical life from Trinidad Musical World Recording Studios. Trinidad World Recording Music Studios here in Fort Worth, Texas, my beautiful studio here. Well, 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 we are concluding one of the best months this podcast has ever had. 4-week run with our good friend Owen Temple. Owen Temple month.
Oh,
how about
good.
Owen Temple month, man?
Man, it's good to be here with you, Phil.
We just looked back at who had the highest rated show of last year. Owen Temple beat all comers, man. All comers, I just said. We're going to base a month where Owen is our guest for a month. Kick off the new year kind of thing. Outstanding. Well, we deconstructed the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last time here in an unenlightening segment. I say unenlightening. It was just kind of going through the list there. Anything struck us, we opined on it, threw out a few, spewed some vitriol.
References. Yes. Associated.
We kind of got rid of all businessmen, producers, blues guys, jazz guys, country guys, and just whittled it down to the essentials.
Even Sam Phillips was asked to leave the building.
Well, if there's one producer that deserves it, it's probably him.
Okay.
If Phil Spector wouldn't shoot him,
yeah,
maybe he'd object to that.
Whether they're packing heat.
That's right. Well, man, Owen sits across from me right now. We just enjoyed a lunch down the street at the Great Mexican Inn here in Lancaster. He is just kind of quietly belching under his breath a little bit, swollen with enchiladas and tacos and refried beans. Well, we were talking about at lunch. This subject came up. Now, Owen and I were around, we put the first CDs out in Texas music history. Am I right? Right about 96.
If Texas music history started in 96.
Yeah, yes. Well, but as far as just independent guys putting out CDs of songs they wrote, you had Jack Ingram, you and me, and a couple other guys. I'm not talking about Jerry Jeff and Ely and all those guys who had major record deals. I'm talking about just the, independent. Keen had a record deal. I'm talking guys with no record deals who made CDs. Who else was around? That was before Corey and Pat. You're before those guys.
That was when there was a local section at the Tower Records
had, on the drag.
Three CDs in it.
Yeah, that's right. You and me and Jack. And Jackal Pierce.
There you go. Yeah.
And a couple guys like that, Well, man, let me tell you what. A lot of the young bands now, you put your stuff on iTunes and stuff, as we do. But we started laughing, telling some jokes over lunch about the great CD product disaster that befell all musicians who were in the business. Around the time you had Napster came in at 2000. What happened when Napster hit, everyone started downloading everything for free. But guess what? Guess what? Phil Pritchett, who was around, and Owen Temple and Max Stalling and others. Now there were quite a few of us there around the turn of the century. We had all made new records or records around or had old titles that sold copies, Owen, in Walmarts, in Hastings, in Moms and Pops. There was a business now in Texas established around selling our CDs to people who would buy them. So therefore, there was thousands and thousands and thousands of units, products, CDs out there being shipped around. When the disaster hit, which was people quit buying CDs and everybody went bankrupt, all the stores and everything, you and me were mixed up in that whole thing. What happened? What happened?
I got a midnight call.
What year was this? 2003, too?
Yeah, 2002 or 2003. Got a midnight call saying.
You'd made a couple records. You'd shipped them. A
couple of records. And a distributor called and said, we're closing the doors. People that aren't, that don't grab their CDs by noon tomorrow.
Goes to the IRS or whatever.
We're
going to
put them in the incinerator. No,
shrink wrap and all.
Not the incinerator. But they were going to be tied up in court proceedings, and
yes,
it was going to become a much harder deal to get.
Is it
get,
bad so. If we mention the name of the distributor? Is that a, or it's part of
this
public record?
Well, it was
Southwest Wholesale in Houston,
yeah,
which was a well-known wholesaler.
And they did a great job.
Did a great job for years. That's my point. We were all in business there for a while.
Yeah.
Sending them there. And then it was one night. So what happened? So you get this phone call because Max Stalling called me around then.
Yeah.
In a panic, Max, who's always he keeps track of every CD he sells. He's got logbooks stacked 10 feet high in pencil, just a statistics guy.
And these things got a homing beacon on every one.
He gave me one of the CDs. He turned around and wrote me a receipt and just written down. Just he's writing everything off. He's on the ball, man. Max
Stalling.
He's
on the ball.
So he calls me in a panic and goes, man, you got any product down there? I was kind of more of the Dallas guy. I had Crystal Clear and stuff. So I didn't really have a lot of Southwest Wholesale stuff. I think they sub-ship stuff down there. But I said, man, I don't really have a lot down there. But some of you guys had quite a bit of product down there. So Stalling, what was Stalling do? He's taking a truck down there? What happened?
Well, actually, Houston Marchman.
Houston, okay, yeah.
He was down there and he was going to pick up some stuff. So thank you, Houston. This is a moment of when the music business came together.
That's
and
right.
What happened is Houston Marchman loaded up not only his stuff.
So did
he made some room on his trailer for my stuff.
Southwest Wholesale,
bunch of my stuff.
Southwest Wholesale was an office in a big warehouse
full
of actual
Southwest
product.
Houston, yeah.
Now did they just kind of leave the doors up, like wink, wink? No one's here. Just come get it.
Not being there in person, like I said, I don't know the particulars exactly.
Yeah.
Houston was there.
It was kind of a shady deal, I remember.
You know,
under cover of night.
I think it was an emergency operation, is what it was, and Houston got there loaded up, no questions. He got the inventory.
He grabbed all the Owen Temple CDs.
Started motoring it up the highway, and then an exchange occurred. And I've got to thank Aaron Watson and Zach Crisp.
At this point, there's banned vans and trailers all over I-45. Just everyone's just got CDs and
it was the winter.
It's a mad grab.
Icy. Because Zach Crisp drove this loaded down trailer full of plastic discs.
Just fishtailing out of Houston.
Fishtailing blowout on the interstate.
Oh, no.
And he gets to my door in Dallas.
Was any Owen Temple product damaged? That's what I want to know.
You know, I did notice a few CDs cracked.
Humanity.
I think he used them for a jack to jack up the...
Just pulled out a couple of different records.
He had to use a jack.
Give me five more Owen Temple records.
He constructed a jack made of CDs.
Which was not hard to do.
So he showed up at my door in Dallas. I'm eternally grateful.
Where do you want these?
To Zach Crisp. He's like, I've got
10,000 albums in my trailer.
And I was like, well, let's a little unload in the garage. And so
yeah,
we did. And Zach Crisp, thank you. I've got to also thank Frank Jackson, and I've also got to thank Aaron Watson and Houston Marchman for that midnight operation.
Now, have you taken all those boxes of CDs and made like a nice nursery for the kids, like in your house, like temporary
makes up
walls?
The north wall of our home.
Oh, really? Okay, that's good to hear. Yeah.
It actually replaced. There's no wall. Uh-huh. It's just a tower of CDs.
Which,
but luckily, I'm working windows into it. You know,
nice.
as I sell and
as you
indoors.
Becoming more of a maybe I eventually put in like a sliding glass
carving
door.
It out. At that time, Walmart was buying CDs, so they
massive
huge orders.
Place
order. Temple's
putting out an album. Just where can we get 4,500 of them? You're like, okay, well, let me print them first.
In order to get one CD in their store, you had to have
5,000.
X thousand.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Because if they were going to sell one, they wanted to be able to sell 10,000.
If one person will buy Owen Temple CD, 10,000 will. Exactly. Was that the thinking?
It was the thinking, but sadly, the experiment never got to pass.
Got underway.
Because they just said,
look, we're going to carry Tim McGraw's greatest hits and about four of their titles, and that's it.
Well, no,
the distributor
was closed.
Yeah,
and
that's
so they were never able to test their experiment.
I had a similar experience. Of course, the funny part of the story of this is all of us guys who got used to printing CDs en masse. Manufacturing by the thousands. It's just so funny to look back on it. And so, yeah, when all that stuff really came home to roost, which was really a couple of years after Napster kind of hit, everyone went, it's not going to affect it that much. It'll help sales or what. And and at the same time, you had more and more and more and more Texas music bands out there competing. You know, I mean, we weren't just a couple guys making music or, 10 or 20 guys. It was, 1,000 guys. It just came home to roost, man. It's kind of like it wasn't a lot unlike I read about the banking crisis here a few years ago, or the housing market. It's just the fall of a market. There's always the indicators that this deal's over, but there's a lot of momentum. We've already pressed the CDs. We've already got distribution. It's already out there. We're not going to get hurt.
But you know what?
We're going to be fine.
I've got to say that I think CDs were still selling strong then. So I think not the only – I think there were some mistakes made that I don't quite understand.
Right.
But I do know that people were still buying
CDs product,
then.
Right, right.
And I don't believe that. So I think there were some miscalculations.
Right. So maybe it was more centralized, you think, in that particular case.
I think so. I wish I could say it was all just technology to blame, but
yeah.
I think I got to – it's some human –
there might have been some human error
in there too.
That brought the plane down.
But, you know.
Because I ended up with a deal I was telling you about with a company that offered to press a lot of my old titles. Man, we'll print some more titles. I didn't know how many they were going to print, quite honestly. They just go, we'll press your old titles. If you need to sell some at the store, just come get them. We'll take them off your next check. I'll charge you $1 a CD or something.
Okay.
So that kept me from having to reorder them all. So it was a good deal for me.
Yeah.
But when that whole deal went down the toilet.
Unwound,
as they all seem to do. Mm-hmm. I got a phone call, same deal. Hey, man, what do you want us to do with these CDs we made of your records? I'm like, well, where are they? Well, they're in Las Vegas or somewhere. I'm like, how many you got? Oh, about 5,000 of each title. I guess that's how many they had to print. Mm-hmm. So you're talking 15,000 Phil Pritchett albums, which sounds like, that's not that. Then you're just like, what does that look like in your living room? Let me tell you what, that's a lot of plastic.
That's a tall coffee table.
That's a... Yeah.
Even if you do drape a tablecloth over it.
So I just said, and then they said, look, We could throw them in the incinerator, which just broke my heart. You know, that artwork.
Rescue. Rescue operation.
I paid for barcodes. Yeah. I'd paid for barcodes, Owen. Yeah, yeah. You know? We're listening to Phil Pritchard here on the PT Podcast, my good friend Owen Temple, wrapping up Owen Temple Month here on the podcast. Oh, we're so privileged. Talking about the harrowing days, just like the stock market crash, the housing market bubble bursting, all that.
The great distribution.
You had the great distribution, CD, Texas Music Distribution, collapse in the early 2000s, the early aughts, or to mid-aughts, where guys like me ended up getting our product, quote-unquote, back, saving it from the incinerator, saving it from companies going out of business. And to this day, we all have thousands of our own albums sitting in our garages as a result. And that kind of that's kind of the result of it, isn't it?
I think that's right. Man, I'll tell you what, if I had to... I've been selling those albums over the last couple
of years. Well, yeah, you sell it.
But if I hadn't had them, oh, man, having to go back and... Print that stuff after it went in the incinerator.
It was a one-time expense to just say, look, give them to me, right?
Jeez, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be better than having to go back and print them every time you ran out. Oh, my gosh,
talk about heartbreak.
Yeah, no outlay of cash there for the old titles.
Yeah.
Do you still do T-shirts, merchandise, or not really?
You know, the thing about being a singer-songwriter is your name is going to be on the shirt.
Right.
I always feel like with bands, it's easier, you know? Like,
a band is a cool idea.
Yeah, you the Rolling Stones.
Pearl Jam,
And you put that on, put that right on the front, those words right there, you know?
But just
when
Jason,
someone's name, you
Jason
know?
Ridgely, you know? Yeah. Is that enough to say, this is who I am?
Yeah.
Dude, I'd wear a shirt.
I think the trick is cool designs.
Yes.
So if someone's listening that can take proper names, you know, first name and surname and make it look really cool.
Owen Temple. What did we indicate, speaking of names and things, you've shown up to gigs before where your name was on the marquee misspelled. How?
Otis Triple. Yeah.
I was hoping you remembered it the same way I did.
Otis
I think you
Triple.
Told us that story when you, me, and Max were out playing those gigs. Now, where was that? That's wait, dude, me and Jordan Powell and Max still call you Otis. What are we talking about?
I go for
Otis. I talked to Otis Triple the other day. Just, how's he doing, man? Not pretty good.
Well, you know.
Where did that happen?
I kind of like having an alter ego. You know, it's like, man.
That's right.
Otis got drunk last night.
That's right.
It wasn't Owen.
It was Otis. It was Otis Triple.
Otis Triple.
That's kind of like our bass player, J.W. Marshall. But he's just Blue. We call him Blue. And when, you know, Blue can drink a little bit, jump around the stage.
Yeah.
But JW is an account executive.
There you go.
He's, you know,
there
nice you guy. So where'd you pull up to that gig and see that Otis Triple
was
playing?
That was my first gig there at, now we're friends, Mr. Danny out down there at the Aardvark.
Yes.
Yep. I think he must have delegated the responsibility of posting the name.
Yes. To someone
to,
there in the
to
bar.
To a junior associate.
Just, hey, go out and put Owen Temple there on the...
And it was actually maybe the first time I played there. Otis Triple. I've always liked that, so I thank him for that.
The name is stuck a little bit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, my name is rarely spelled correctly.
Yeah, the F's. They use F's.
Yeah.
F-I-L.
Yes. F-I. Well, not really Phil, but the Pritchett is often very troublesome.
Oh yeah, the T and the C.
It's got a T in the middle and Phil Prickett and Bill Bridges. You know.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes a little attention, you know.
Paul Lewis. I don't know how they got to that one.
Oh, nice.
Then Jeff Van Jones, which I didn't understand.
Wow.
Yeah, got that's, very,
that's,
very
that's actually inspired.
I thought, man, we've been double booked. They said, no, that was just you. We just misspelled the name. I was like, how did you get to that?
Wow.
You know,
very that's
puzzling.
Inspired.
Very puzzling. So I don't know how that happened.
Van Jones.
But usually it's Phil and then Pritchett just sometimes. We kind of go with kind of the P2 deal. Just P2, P2FB.
Sure.
Phil Pritchett and the full band kind of
there
thing.
There you go.
Keeping it rolling as good as we can.
Take those letters. They can easily texted.
Yes.
Did I say texted? Yeah.
Texted, yeah. Yeah. Well, man, what does the future hold? How's the year going to pan out for Owen Temple? The new record will drop here in April.
It will be released like a bird.
Yes.
In April.
Flight.
In April. We'll find out if it learned how to fly in a cage.
Yeah, we'll see. You got the great Charlie Sexton on there.
Yep, he was... Man, I'm excited. I love the music. I love every note on this record, and it's been fun playing them. I think this is the year I take over the world, Phil.
Dude, it's way overdue.
I think so.
It's way overdue, man. What shows have been good for you? Like, you played somewhere you like? Owen Temple, Mountain Home.
I love the people down in at Do-Si-Do.
Yes.
I love playing at Mucky Duck in Houston. Yeah. I like playing the Firehouse in Houston. Mm-hmm. Love those people. And I like playing up here in Fort Worth, then sometimes White Elephant.
Yeah, absolutely. And
did something at Fred's Texas Cafe. That was fun.
Good deal.
Mike Snyder over in Dallas, the All Good Cafe.
How's that place doing?
I like it. I like Mike's food.
That's a great food. If you haven't been to the All Good Cafe, Dallas, Texas, Deep Ellum, man, what a great vibe in there. Just great.
What would Dallas music be without Mike Snyder, you know?
Man,
I like what the Granada Theater's doing in
Dallas. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that.
I saw you were playing there a while back. You played last year? Did you go in there?
You know, actually, it might have been before that.
A couple years, yeah.
I like that the Cactus Cafe is still open in Austin.
I thought they closed it.
Nope, still open. They changed management. And it is kind of sad the management change they made, but it looks like the legacy of it's going
to
go on.
They still do a lot down there?
Yep, they still do some great shows in there. You know, the program is going to change a little bit. I think they're going to have more student acts.
And that means
you know.
Well, you're a student of the University of Texas.
That's true, but I don't know if I deserved the Cactus stage at that point either.
What was your official role in the student body there? Were you president?
I was student government vice president, which meant...
Of the University of Texas. That's a big gig.
Oh, man, I tell you the power.
I thought you'd go into politics or something after something like that. No? Never appealed to you?
You know, I don't know. No. I can't lay this old guitar down.
Yeah? You've tried to a few times, haven't you?
Well, yeah, man. You know, you wonder if is it the thing or a thing?
That's right.
You know, and it's the thing.
I never got over Owen coming to visit me in Nashville one time. And
you also had Mexican food lunch that day.
Food lunch. I took you to the sushi place.
Yeah.
And you kind of went, I don't know. You didn't really eat the sushi. Didn't really eat the... I tried to take you to the best Nashville had to offer. I'm like, man, Owen, he's just not a real foodie. You know, he didn't like any of these restaurants. That's fine. I go, maybe he's not hungry. And then on the way out of town, he calls me and says, hey, thanks for everything. And, hey, give me a roast beef sandwich. I'm like, where are you, man? He's like, I'm at Arby's. And I was just like, wait a minute. You wouldn't eat my sushi. You wouldn't eat my Mexican food. You turned your nose up at the pork barbecue. But you just roll right into Arby's and order it. That was funny. I was a little offended, though, I have to admit.
Well, you know, thank you for the lunches. But it's going to be hard to beat that Arby's sauce.
That is. Arby's going strong.
Horsey sauce.
You own some stock in Arby's?
Arby's is pretty good, reliable road food, you know?
It is. It's not too bad. If you like hot, wet
beef, salty
meat.
Beef.
Yes. Well, folks, it has been Owen Temple month here. What a month it has been.
Go out and treat yourself this year, people.
Treat yourself this year. Pick up Owen Temple Mountain Home.
Pick up a Arby's sandwich.
The latest and greatest from Owen Temple coming out in April. The great Charlie Sexton playing on there. Guy got Bucca Allen playing organ. Adam Carroll. All sorts of friends of yours lending their efforts there to the latest Owen Temple stuff. Out there playing. We've enjoyed it so much, man. Owen Temple month here on the P2 Podcast. What a joy. Thanks for being in here, Owen. We'll see you out there on the road, my friend.
Phil, always a pleasure, my friend.
Well, it is that time for me to stagger over to the vault blindfolded, grab a vinyl record off the shelf at random, and then bring it back here to discuss for your own enlightenment and enjoyment. The vault is next.
Well's drying up and the creek is gone. Dust is flying, cows are skinny.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. From beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, come record here at the studio. 817-733-5256. Or shoot me an email. Phil@philpritchett.com will set you up. Fantastic. How about it, my good friend Owen Temple? It's just a real plus, a real bonus, a real blessing of this job to be out there and meet guys like Owen along the way. Guys out there playing his songs, staying true to himself. He's a great family man, a great writer, and a talent, and just a hilarious and humble guy who is always welcome here in my studio. That's for damn sure. Well, I'm loving his new record here, man. And I got to admit something to you. I don't listen to a lot of new records. People send me something, I kind of skip through it a little bit. You know, it sounds pretty good. I want to hear, like, get the general flavor of it, kind of the production value of it. But this thing, Mountain Home, Owen Temple, it comes out in April here.
Or as Owen says, if you come up to him at one of his gigs and say, "Hey man, you got one of those new records lying around?" He goes, "Yeah, I'll give you one for about 10 bucks." So he's got it. But man, he's got a, man, it's just got this cool kind of bluesy vibe to it, you know, a little different maybe than what you're accustomed to hearing from Owen Temple. Certainly a folk singer, but always with a dry sense of humor throughout it all. And I was equally as intrigued of him having a Charlie Sexton on this record playing bass, or as he says, it was really just a baritone guitar that they were running like through a bass amp or something, so it just gets this low-end kind of deal. And you listen to some of the bass runs on some of these songs, they're pretty cool, very Paul McCartney-esque, real, a lot of notes, a lot of little melodic things. It's not someone just playing the one and the five, you know what I'm saying? Well, check this out, man. Owen's a big Leon Russell fan. He did this song. This is that Leon Russell tune. I think it's called Prince of Peace, I think. But check it out, man. Just grooving here. Owen Temple, Mountain Home.
Me only by my time and changes. I'm not speaking words, for I say many. Listen closely to this song and watch my eyes. There's not much time to spill, there's hardly any. Long as lonely children are live in the street, lucky not afraid to touch each other, not afraid to be themselves or someone else, or choose their friends with love and not by color. Never treat a brother like a passing stranger. Always try to keep a love light burning. Listen only to his song and watch his eyes, for he might be the Prince of Peace returning. Yes, he might be the Prince of Peace returning.
Temple on the P2 podcast from his new album Mountain Home. You can't even get it anywhere.
Where else are you going to hear it first? Right here on the P2 Podcast. Cool song. I think that's a Leon Russell song he was talking about. I can't remember if this episode or last episode, talking about his influence. Leon Russell, the great Leon Russell. Me and the full band opened for Leon at the Surf Club 1 year. Some of y'all were there. You're out there listening. I hear you. Leon, man, he looks like the abominable snowman. Have you seen him on this new Elton John record? He's been out touring around. They came here to the convention center in Fort Worth. Leon Russell, Elton John, made a record together, some duets. Did T-Bone Burnett produce that? I think he might have. I'm pretty certain. I'm not 100% sure. So check that out, man. But a cool version there of that song, Prince of Peace, Leon Russell, as done, interpreted by Owen Temple. Awesome. Well, a little while back, man, we had an event here in Fort Worth to benefit the family of a worker for the Benny Keith Company who was tragically shot and killed running a beer truck route here in Fort Worth. So Billy Bob's Texas put on a big fundraiser for him with an auction, and it was a fantastic event hopefully did a lot of good for the family. I think it raised quite a bit of money and was a small thing to help that family in that difficult time. So they had this event at Billy Bob's Texas to raise money for this family of the young man who was killed. And so, of course, Owen Temple's there, always willing to give his time and talent to great causes. So me and Owen were in the same group with Mark McKinney and Charlie Shafter. And I hadn't seen Owen play in a while. You know, me and Owen and Max Stalling and had played some singer-songwriter shows. We traveled around in a van together playing gigs and had gotten to know each other pretty well. But I didn't know much of his new stuff. I kind of knew his older stuff. So he gets on stage at Billy Bob's that night, and he plays this next song, and he starts playing it. He didn't say anything about it. He didn't say, hey, this song's about Sam Houston. Or he doesn't say that. He just starts playing. I think it's called Old Sam. And he goes into it, man. And I'll sit next to Charlie Shafter. We're just looking at each other, just laughing. The lyrics are great, man. You know, you're driven by that big old Sam Houston statue down there, right? And down there near Huntsville, and in Huntsville, Texas. So Old Sam, he's down there. Owen wrote a song about him. So here's to Old Sam, Owen Temple from his new album, Mountain Home.
Timber Ridge, Virginia is a mighty fine place. From that soil sprung a leader of the human race. He had eyes full of thunderstorms and hair like gold. He was 7 feet tall when he's 6 years old. Old Sam, Big Sam. Down in Alabama in 1812, he and Andy Jackson raised all kind of hell. He got shot by an arrow, but he had no fear. Hero was the job that he chose for his career. Old Sam, Big Sam. But Sam got tired of being the governor of Tennessee, so the Raven flew south to be a drunk Cherokee. He slapped a nasty congressman right in the face. He said, y'all go to hell, I'm gonna find a better place for old Sam. For Big Sam, on down to western Arkansas, kicked around Oklahoma, where he took up with a squaw. In those days, Texas was damn near Mexico. Old Sam decided next that's where he's gonna go. Old Sam, Big Sam. That devil Santa Ana was a molester and a thief. Getting him thrown out of Texas was a mighty big relief. After swatting Santa Ana like he would a pesky fly, he drank a river full of whiskey and ate a piece of pie. Old Sam, Big Sam. Sam told the folks not to start a civil war, but they told Sam just to go and find the door. Saturday more kids on the Gulf Coast plain. They don't bear the scars, but they all bear the name of Old Sam. Big Sam. Sam Houston stood tall, he was true and tough. That statue's pretty big, but it ain't big enough for Old Sam. For Big Sam. Old Sam.
Ah, love it. Owen Temple talking about Old Sam, all of us Texans' friend, Old Sam Houston. I don't know if he knew all that stuff about Houston's life, if he made it up, if he remembered it from grade school history lessons. I don't know. Either way, P2 is impressed. Owen, dude. I tell you what, you don't hear people with songs like that a whole lot. Thoughtful, funny, well thought out, historically accurate. I don't know. But Old Sam, you got to dig that, man, if you dig good Texas music, man. And my good friend Owen Temple. Old Sam, love it, man. Well, man, this next track hit me like a hammer first time I listened to it. This kind of goes in that, you know, covered that Leon Russell song earlier. Well, this is kind of in the same kind of vein, man. Just bluesy and low down. Goodness gracious. Owen, what are you doing, man? Laying it down thick on this one, man. I love it. Danger in Good Times, from his new album Mountain Home, coming out in April. Owen Temple.
Slanted eyebrows looking over his glasses, hand on a hip flicking cigarette ashes. Listening to music with self-employed stresses, selling all them heaters at midnight in Texas. That ain't no microphone, pass me a hit. I'd just soon not mess with it. Too fat to fly, too stoned to stack BBs. Millions of records, thousands of CDs. Danger and good times ain't too hard to find. Please show me a sign through danger and good times. I can do you one better than that. See how this band is so well known? But that first band he was in was bad to the bone. I ain't never heard about no farmer going down to the Bahamas. Little thing I like to call karma. Danger and good times all the way down the line. It's a mighty thin line between danger and good times. Out there, they'll knock you down. Golden years, I'm gonna have fun right now. More messed up than a turned over tackle box. Check the phone book, there's only one ACOX. Danger and good times ain't too hard to find. Please show me a sign. Danger and good times. There's danger in good times all the way down the line. Please show me a sign. There's danger in good times. Oh,
Starting to think my old friend Owen's been hanging out with Ray Wiley Hubbard or something, man. Digging on them blues. Owen Temple, I feel like he really is stretching himself out here on this record. A lot of humor, a lot of funky blues. Sexton just all over the bass, man. Noodling around. Bass player after my own heart there, Charlie Sexton. He can do it all. Well, that's Owen Temple, man. Owen Temple month has concluded. I'm a little sad. In fact, I'm very sad. But what an epic thing, man. Remember, you can hear all the podcasts at psupodcast.com. The most recent one is up top. But just scroll down, man, if you missed maybe the first couple of episodes with Owen, or you want to go back and hear the episode with Pat Green or Gary P. Nunn or Blake Walker or Jordan Powell or anybody you can name. Just go on back there. There's a description of all the shows and a little player underneath. You hit play. You can listen to any one of the podcast archive shows you'd like. Well, remember, April is Private Party April, so email me, Phil, at philpritchard.com. Let me know where to come. We got the Fridays open and the Thursdays, I think. All the Saturdays are almost gone in April. The Saturdays are gone. But other dates remain. $500. I come to your house. I play a 70-minute set or so. So let me know where to come, man. This is all about you, the fans, and me getting out there and seeing everybody. I know it's tough going to those bars late at night sometimes, so shoot me an email, and I'll show up. We'll make it fun, man. Also, thanks again to Hot Damn Tamales. Go to hotdamntamales.com. Free yourself, man. Enlighten yourself. Look at the menu. And just know that by ordering off the website, hotdamntamales.com, you're supporting this show, supporting this program. Type in P2 in the promotions code. Get $2 off your order. Oh, man, you will not be sorry. Trust me. Just trust me on this from a Fort Worth guy talking about a Fort Worth company. Amen. Well, that's all the time we have here on the podcast. We're going to leave you with Medicine Man, yet another just bluesy, funky, great song from Owen Temple's new record, Mountain Home. Look for it coming out in April. Thanks again to Owen and Hot Damn Tamales for being a part of this program. We'll see you out there on the road, folks. Thanks for listening. Much tougher.
All over the land, he's spoken of, wise as a snake, gentle as a dove. When that wolf wears sheep clothes, he shakes the dust off his feet before he goes. He's a medicine man. He's a medicine man. He walks the land you never seen before. He's on a mission. Your slave, he'll be your king. He'll be what you want, be your everything. He's a medicine man. He's a medicine man. Bells and beats, he'll give you some. There's a whole lot more where that comes from. Sign, touch your head, make you shake and dance, gonna raise the dead. He's a medicine man. He's a medicine man. He's a medicine man. Your health, get what you need to save himself. Might lose your house, might lose your home, but he'll give you back more than you have known. He will rise your tide, he will set your sun. Be your dealer, your healer, your only one.